Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plain Stalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my amazingly gifted, strong, and beat me last week in fantasy football and made me really sad co-host, Aramis Perez. Aramis Perez, how are you tonight, sir?
I haven't said a single word about it, and you've mentioned that twice already, so I don't know.
Listen, man, I'm all about the fantasy football, man. It's dungeon. Let's face it. Fantasy football is Dungeons and Dragons for jocks.
Yeah,
you know, it's all about math and it's all about stuff like that. It was, you know, it's all worthwhile, so it's all good. But we should probably, because we've got a full show tonight, so we're just gonna get right into
Untap, Upkeep, and Draw.
And of course, no Untap, Upkeep, and Draw would be complete without, you know, Oktoberfest hashtag not sponsored. Salute. All right. Damn, that's still good. All right, so tonight, what we're going to go over is that it's our last week before pre-release, and this is our fourth, I think our fourth one of these.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So that means that we are going to do what we normally do, which is give you guys at least a little bit of armchair advice, casual advice. And if you don't know how to play a sealed event, which is what most pre-releases are, go through some of the strategies you might want to use, whether or not it's Throne of Eldraine. Then we're going to talk a little bit more. We want to talk about the new set that's coming out with the Throne of Eldraine, their premium set, the deluxe set. Wizards threw that out this week. Our combat today is going to be interesting. The arena event is coming up. Wizards made an announcement about something in arena. Usually we save that for main two, but main two tonight is actually going to be our, you know, it's like the clip show at the Oscars for the In Memorial. We're going to have an In Memorial for the cards that are rotating out that we're going to miss. So, I mean, we got a jam-packed show, so we should just, you know, before we get into it, how's things going with you? Oh, dear.
And no, it's...
That's not a Ross review. We'll fix that later. Yeah, that... Well, my soundboard also does my other podcast.
I see.
So, you know. Yeah, so... All right, well, let's get into...
Main Phase.
All right, main phase tonight, Throne of Eldraine. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're not going to go through any more spoilers. Yes, there were some cards released after we recorded last week. I mean, one omission. You were correct, sir. No lightning strike. No lightning bolt. No lightning of any kind.
Yeah, makes me sad.
So
not really, though, because
it makes me sad, too.
Huh? Not really, though, because I'm not a huge fan of red.
Yeah, shut up.
Hey, I'll play it. I'll play it. Some of my favorite cards are red. Just, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
I have some friends that are red, okay? Jeez. Wait, that didn't come out good either.
That didn't really, yeah. Wow, that just happened.
Just keep digging.
Please, you know, hashtag don't sue.
Just keep digging.
Cancel culture, no. In any event, I want to talk to you guys a little. We want to talk to you guys a little bit. We do this every pre-release the week before. It's because most pre-releases tend to be some sort of sealed event where you get the pre-release packs of six plus a promo card, and you build the best deck you can. Now, in Guilds and Ravnica Allegiance, they made it a little bit easier in that you chose kind of the colors you were going to be based in, really.
You were still at the mercy of your booster pack. So, like, oh, I'm going to be
you
Gruul.
Really,
and
really
look at
were.
All this. Is it? Damn it.
Yeah. You know, what was it? One pack was for sure your Gruul deck, and then
the rest of it
there
was,
were five.
Well, you hope you got some good cards in your colors.
Yeah, and I don't think I ever used the deck I chose. And then luckily with War of the Spark, they brought it back around to normal. So now it's six packs that you're going to get. And we get this a lot. I get this a lot at work. I forget that we haven't done sealed at work in a long time. And these guys are, this is their first pre-release, really. And they're all just a little bit nervous. The guys at work are kind of like, so wait, what's going to happen? I'm like, well, you're going to get six packs. You're going to take the best probably 23 cards in that pack, make a deck out of them.
Yep.
So you want not just the best cards, but the best cards that work together. And then you're going to throw 17 basic lands in and poof, there's your deck. So, and then if you're anything like me, usually game two, you change the deck completely because you just, that's not even
limited is not your friend.
No, limit. I'm really bad at limited. I really am. And I'm bad at standard, bad at constructed. Not really good at Commander. Not really good at Brawl. How the hell did I get this podcast?
It was your idea?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So anyway, the basic rule of thumb is, so, you know, you're going to build the best 40-card deck you can.
Yep.
What we want to kind of talk about here is, you know, we want to take a look at some of the cards that if you open one of these cards, you really want to try to build around it and jam it in.
Yes.
If you can. Now, again, that's the Surgeon General's warning of this whole thing is that, you know, okay, so say you open, you know, something like a Hushbringer. Well, you know, she's a great card to build around, but then if all you've got is green and red, you know, then you're probably not going to play Hushbringer. And one of the hardest things I think to do in a pre-release is to, you know, you get your shiny foil card. Everybody gets one. It's foil stamped. It has a date on it. And you get it and you look at it and it's so damn pretty. And you're like, I want to play with this card. And then your booster packs, they just ain't going to support it. And that one of the hardest things to do is to be mature enough in your gameplay to go, I can't do it. I just can't.
I mean, there are some times where the card is so good that you're like, I'm playing this no matter what because I'm forcing it. Like Rekindling Phoenix in Rivals of Ixalan. You open that card, you're playing red. I don't care how bad the rest of your pool is. You're splashing for it, even though it's double red, because it's impossible to kill that creature unlimited.
Well, you did that. You had a card like that where you went three colors.
Yeah, and I splashed for that color, and I was like, you know what? I don't care. And it worked.
And that's just it. It's like, you know, one of the first things to maybe remember is, hey, you know, don't forget, you're not, unless you open mana, your mana base is basic lands.
Yes.
Okay, you're not going to jam in shocks. You're not going to jam in taps.
Well, are no dual lands in this set as well.
Yeah, there's no dual lands. So you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, you're going to be, with this set, you're going to be... Monocolored is a very real possibility. It's hard to pull that off in sealed, so you're going to be two colors for sure. You might be heavily on one color and splashing a second. Three colors is going to be really hard to pull off unless it's an absolute bomb. And it only has like one pip of that color, then you can probably splash for that one. But if you open up like Torbran, and you don't have any other good red, you're gonna have to not play Torbran.
Yeah, but then again, if you get something like the Great Henge, which can completely change your game, well, take a look and see what else you got in green. Because again, it's two pip green.
Yeah,
but it changes your game.
It's a big build really around. Does. That's in limited that might be a bit of a win more. Because you're gonna need a,
like the god Kefnet.
Yeah, because you're gonna need a big fat dude to reduce the cost of that anyway. Because I think we made a mistake in the last episode. I think we misread the card. Because
you're right. It's where X is the greatest.
It's the
power.
Greatest power, not the total power.
You are absolutely right. We did read that.
Yeah, so you have to be careful with the Great Henge. It's still extremely powerful if you can get it out, but it's one of those things where even if you have like a 4-drop, it still costs 5 mana. So, you know, which isn't terrible. I mean, it can definitely win you some games. But the bombs that are in this set are still, like most other sets, they're pretty obvious as to what you want to play. You're going to want to play Realm Cloak Giant if you open it up.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, you're going to want to play Questing Beast because that's not...
If you open Questing Beast, you're doing green.
Yeah.
Don't even think twice about it. Obviously, Torbran is a thought. If you would play something like Torbran or Yorvo if you're going to go mono color.
Or at least heavily into that color.
Yeah. Like, hope to God that you open the rest of them. Like, if my promo card was, say, a Torbran... Or my promo card was a Yorvo, which are the three, you know, they're the three, what do you call it? The three pip, you know, big bad bombo creatures. Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to want to do that. Here, I'll throw it on the screen. You know, you're definitely going to want to do that because it changes the way your game works. That's the kind of decision you have to make.
Yeah.
Is if you're going to play, you know, if you're going to play cards like that, make sure that it changes your game. Okay, and you absolutely build around it.
Now, you could get incredibly lucky and open up a Stone Coil Serpent, and that goes in any deck because it's an artifact. And it's also a huge bomb.
And there are lots of artifacts in this deck, in this set. I mean, they have quite a bit of, you know, there's quite a few pretty decent colorless spells that will definitely, you know, help your game and will bring you a little bit closer to, you know... if you open a Fabled Passage, just love your life.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a great card for Constructed. It's playable and limited. It's not like a bomb by any means, but you're happy to see it. Any chance you get
Well, it's manifesting.
Yeah, if you get fixing in Throne of Eldraine, you know, praise the mana gods, because that, obviously it's a rare, so, you know. But also, it also means you pretty much got your money's worth for the entry fee, because I think it's a $10 card, and it's going to see play. I think one card, if you open it, you're going to slam it into your deck and play black, is Piper of the Swarm.
I agree with that.
You know, you're going to want to play... what the hell was that other one? There's some good stuff that's floating around in here. Wicked Wolf is a really good one, too. That's a great green card. Witch's Vengeance is a good mass removal spell. Now, obviously, I'm looking at the rares, because sometimes that's how your deck works. You get your bomb, and there you go.
Exactly.
If you want to go for the dick factor, you could do Stolen by the Fae if you open that up. It's like, that's a nice bomb you got there. It'd be a shame if I stole it and made a bunch of flying creatures in addition to that.
Well, exactly. I mean, it is what we say, okay? On Friday night, you know, when you're sitting at your local game store, Saturday afternoon or whatever you're doing, you know, you're going to want to, you know, really research what it is you want to do. Know your play style would be another thing I would say, is that make sure you know how you like to play. Like, I know that I am a big fan of aggro. Well, then I'm going to try to build around aggro. Like, if I get a lot of control, it doesn't mean I don't, you know, play control. But, you know, I have to have, it has to be pretty relatively
simple. You try not to paint yourself into a corner. You have to keep yourself open to different strategies. I mean, you play the best cards you get. And if it means you're playing control, even though you're an aggro player, well, I mean, those are literally the cards you opened. If you open Happily Ever After, I apologize, because that card's terrible and limited.
but there is some definite power in here. It's gonna make things fun.
Yeah.
I think you're gonna have a good time playing a lot of what you get.
A lot of the bombs are beatable. There's only a couple of cards where you're just like, well, I lose. You know, like Feasting Troll King. You have basically one turn to kill that.
Yeah. Well, it was like when the white one, what the hell was its name there?
Oketra?
Oketra. If Oketra showed up in sealed, scoop. You know?
I can still have the feather in my cap of beating a deck that had two Oketras.
Yeah. That guy was lucky.
Yeah, he won the tournament. Surprise.
I was playing Brawl today at work, and I was playing my Zakama deck, and I put Oketra in there, and Oketra won me more games than Zakama did.
Yeah.
I was like, I also had Helm of the Host, so at both times I got Oketra out, I got Helm of the Host out.
Yuck.
So it was like, oh, okay then, this works, let's do this. And then, so he's like, can you play your other Brawl deck? And I made a Niv-Mizzet for post-rotation. So I was kind of playing around with that. And I got Spark Double out after I put Nimbizet out. And he's playing Nimbizet. He got his Nimbizet out turn 6. I got mine out turn 6. But then I play Stark's Double turn 7. I'm like, you're not going to like this. And then I'm like, oh, instant. Sorcery. 2, 2, 2. Oh, look, I drew a card and got a mana I need. Another one. 2. He's like, oh, so I got rid of his Nimbizet. Yeah, it was classic. But Planeswalkers, let's talk about that a little bit. Obviously, Planeswalkers are good to build around too. Now, most of the Planeswalkers that I'm seeing here are two color.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any single color Planeswalker.
No, there's only the three in the set. There's the Royal Scions. There is Oko, Thief of Crowns, and there's Garrick, Cursed Huntsman.
Yeah. And in regards to limited, Garrick, you're going to build around
Garrick
him.
Is absurd.
Yeah. Oko?
Oko, well, I mean, that depends. Oko is one of those, Oko is incredibly powerful because, remember, there's a lot of stuff that makes food and a lot of stuff that relies on food. And the fact that his plus ability makes it, I mean, then you can, you know, you can use his ultimate to gain control of their best creature. You can use his other plus ability to turn their best creature into a 3/3 elk with no abilities. I mean, If it's a feasting troll king, I'd happily turn into a 3-3 for you.
Oh, absolutely. But the Royal Scions, if you get that, don't feel like, you know, but you have no other support, don't feel like you have to play it.
I would play it.
I wouldn't. I it's card advantage, which I guess in limited is good.
It's card advantage, however, and gives your creatures first strike.
Yeah, but unless... Okay, here's my problem with this card in limited. Okay, you have 40 cards. Okay, it's a turn 3, so you might be able to curve into a turn 3 or 4. But, I mean, really, every one of these, except for the giving first strike and trample, I mean, if you ultimate this, you're drawing 4 cards. If you're plus 1 and you draw a card. Mm-hmm. Unless you have the other cards that somehow give it the ability to mill, which there's a lot of mill in this deck, yeah, you're just kind of...
I'm not even looking at it like that. It's it's card selection.
And I like looting, I like card selection, yeah.
Anytime you get a loot ability that you don't have to pay for, that's usually very powerful and limited because you're discarding either excess lands or other cards you're not using. And if you're worried about decking yourself, its other plus ability makes any one of your creatures into a lethal threat.
True.
I mean, especially if you have something that has vigilance.
Well, yeah, obviously, that's...
Yeah. You get a Planeswalker, try to play it. If you get more than one, you're a lucky bastard, and you have a very difficult choice to make because you're not going to be able to play both.
Well, if you get more than one, I mean, if you get the Royal Scion and Garrick, sorry, you're kind of shit out of luck.
You pick the best one. Like, if it was a choice between the two, I'd probably play Garrick.
But if you have Garrick and Oko, well, maybe you splash a little blue. You know, and
or splash, or
splash
black,
a little black, whatever, whichever you have the least of, you know, and you know, because if you can get them both out, more power.
And
to
it would
you,
be easier
you
to
know?
Do that because it's green, and green, you have a little bit of a better chance of maybe finding something that gets you basic lands out of your deck.
Yeah,
there
is a lot of ramp.
There's a decent amount of ramp. A lot of it's rare, though.
Yeah.
So you'd have to open up like, you know, Garrick, Oko, Once Upon a Time, and a guided Fabled Passage.
Right, which, I mean, there's 4 of your 6 rares right there.
And that's a ridiculous pool, regardless of the rest of your cards. That's a ridiculous pool.
Right, and I mean, the castles are not even that good for you.
No, not unless you're monocolored, in which case, you know, they provide some nice, repeatable value.
Right.
So, but I mean, they're all good. Every single one of them is good. Well, I mean, the green one's okay. But you need to have...
Not the Ginger...
Castle Garenbrig.
Oh, yeah. Castle Garenbrig. Inner forest tap unless you can control a forest. Yeah, I guess.
It can be good.
That
one
costs 4 to... It costs 4 to give you 6 green.
Yeah, but you can only use that for creature spells or creature activated abilities.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the one that's most built around. But the rest of them are all either solid or very good.
I don't disagree there.
There's not a lot of cards that are outright bad.
No. So, I mean, I'm going to sit here and say that, you know, as far as putting together, you know, your Throne of Eldraine pre-release, it's the same thing we tell you every time. It's just the best thing to do is, and here's what I do. I get my 6 packs, okay, and I get my promo and I put it aside and I go, oh, it's shiny, it's pretty. And I show Aramis and hope he goes, wow. Or he goes, eh. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I put it aside. Life is good. All right. I open my first pack, and what I tend to do is I tend to go by color, and I'll sit there and go, and you should not worry, by the way, about, oh, do I have to hide my cards so nobody else sees them? It's
pre-release is pretty casual.
Everybody's casual.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal.
But, you know, just separate them by color, and, you know, boom, 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 boom. If you get a gold card, which is usually dual color, well, then try to put them up top, you know. And then when you get it separated by color, you know, make sure to also kind of take a look at mana cost, but you should be able to, at that point, once it's separated by 5 colors, as well as, you know, the uncolors and all of that, you should be able to make a pretty good judgment call about what it is you can build. Okay, your pre-release pack is going to tell you that, you know?
Yeah, about 15 creatures or so, 5 to 8 spells, something you know, something that range, 17 lands. You can pull off 16 if you have an incredibly low curve, or you can pull off...
Or your mono.
Or if you're mono-colored, and then you can also pull off 18 lands if you're playing something that has a lot of either high-end spells or something that you know wants to spend a lot of mana. Like, you have a lot of activated abilities.
And now, you get this question a lot. Do I have to stick to 40? Well, no, it's at least 40. You play at least 40 cards. I have this thing, and I've said it every time we do this, and it drives Aramis insane. For some reason, when I do a sealed, I don't know why, but I'm almost always like, I'm playing 41. And I don't know why. Usually it's, I feel like it's a luck thing and there's no real reason for it. And it's probably one of the reasons I lose.
I was going to say, how's that working out for you?
But I mean, the truth is you should stick as close to 40 as possible.
40, like 40, it's not a hard rule, but it's strongly recommended because if for no other reason, it gives you the best chance to draw the cards you want to play. Right. You know, if you have a hard choice between that last card, that happens. You know, what's your last cut? Mm-hmm. That's always the hardest decision to make. You've got 24 playables, and trying to find out what the worst one of those is, it's hard to do. I mean, sometimes it'll end up being a card that's better coming out of the sideboard.
Yep.
But the thing I love about pre-releases especially is that it really takes it back to when I first started playing Magic. And, you know, you're sitting with your friends, you're opening packs, you're like, oh, wow, I got this card. Look at this. Look what it does. This is awesome. And everybody else is doing the same thing. They're all having that experience of going, wow, this card is nuts. And for some people, especially if you're not listening to this podcast, in which case this is a weird explanation, but anyway, some people have no idea what cards are in this set. So they're opening up Feasting Troll King for the very first time. They have no idea what this card does. And you just you see their jaw hit the floor and their eyes go wide and they get this big stupid grin on their face and you're like, yep, they're playing green.
So something else to consider, okay? Realize this, okay? You're probably going to go to time. If you're playing a four-round night or four or five rounds, the odds of you going to time, at least three of them are good.
Well, that also depends on the speed of the format, but yeah.
Especially in this, I have a feeling this format's going to be slower, about as slow as War was, because not having the mana, not having the dual lands in there, it takes you longer to get a board state, you know, that you can hang with. So don't be surprised, you know, it's going to be frustrating for me. I am so used to the whole go there, 6 o'clock, you know. Start playing. We're out by 10. I'm home by 11.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
I told my wife this time. I'm like, picture me and probably we probably ain't leaving Catskill till midnight, and I'm probably not getting home till about 1:30. So, and then I have to wake up Saturday morning and go get my son in Oswego because he wants to come home for the 4-day weekend. So, kill me. So yeah, that'll be fun.
Oh boy,
but
caffeine.
Well, he wanted to come home Friday. I'm like, oh, I have to work, which is
technically true.
A lie.
Yeah. Half truth at worst.
No, so don't get me wrong. If he pushes it, guess what? Papa Will ain't going to pre-release.
Yeah, that's fine.
At the end of the day, I got,
as it
I
should
got
be.
Kids.
As it should be.
So he's like, if he really is like, I really kind of want to come home Friday, I'll be like, all right. And I'm willing to let my guys down at work. And I'm preparing them tomorrow when we have club. I'll be like, now listen, guys. Okay, we're 99% in on this. But, yeah. So anyway, anything else you think we should talk about before we go on to our next little topic here? I mean, pre-release. It's, you know, and if you're playing Two-Headed Giant, which some do, it's the same idea, only if you're playing Two-Headed Giant, odds are good you're not listening to this casual podcast because you like to play Two-Headed Giant. You feel you're above it. So, you know, good on you.
The only thing I got to say is, you know, don't worry so much about winning on this tournament.
Yeah.
Have fun. These are new cards, new interactions. Play the game. Have fun with the game. If you go 4-0, great. If you go 0-4, just try to have fun.
Yeah. So, all right. So, in addition on this, I want to pivot a little bit because we're talking about the cards. And first of all, I mean, I'm probably not buying my box this week. I'm going to wait till next week. But Wizards came out, I think it was last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we kind of talked about it a few weeks ago where we had said something about, you know, the fact that the Mythic collection is kind of gone and that the new... you know, the collector's boosters are kind of what is meant to replace it. Well, not quite. Wizards just didn't announce it right away, but they did last week, and they have replaced the Mythic Edition with a Deluxe Edition.
The Deluxe Collection, yes.
Yes. And Well, here's the deal. Excuse me. It is basically you get a crap ton of really, really great, you know, stuff. Each deluxe collection, and get excited, because like everything else in the world, like you know, Apple products and stuff, I'm going to tell you what it is, and then I'm going to tell you how much they want for it. But you're getting 16 Throat of Eldraine collector boosters, not regular draft packs. You're getting one set themed binder. Nobody knows how good this binder is. I probably wouldn't use it.
If it looks similar to the binders I've been purchasing lately, these are pretty good binders.
Okay. One foil Garruk, Cursed Huntsman, Borderless Planeswalker card. That's a good card. One art print of the Borderless Garruk, Cursed Huntsman.
Cool.
One non-foil, this is the weird one. Non-foil version of the Buy a Box Kenrith Returned King. So let me get this straight. The non-foil is in a more expensive product, but you can get the foil version for buying a box. Does this mean the non-foil version is going to be more valuable than the foil?
You know, it depends on how good it is in Commander.
So, 3x3 card strip from a foil sheet of Throne of Eldraine, which is really kind of cool.
Yeah, that is kind of
cool. I do like foil sheets. Obviously, you want, you know, more of a 9x9. 3x3 is kind of, but what are you going to do? One MTG Arena Mega Code card, which gives you a bunch of arena styles and stuff, which is like, whatever. Okay, so you get all of that. How much would you expect to pay for all of that goodness?
I won't hazard a guess because it's actually about what I expected.
Is it really?
Yeah, because give the price and I'll explain why.
Well, and that's just it, because it is somewhat, there is value to it. The deluxe collection is going to only be available on magicstore.wizards.com, so their new e-store. It starts October 2nd, and it's going to cost $449.99.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's say that again. $449.99.
$450.
Yeah, $450. So,
counting shipping.
Who's buying that?
Not counting shipping and handling.
Pretty much what I expect. I mean, here's the thing. It is going to... People are going to
It's going to sell out.
Yeah. Look, this is, you know, and, you know, the professor at Talarian Academy, he said it best. I mean, this is obviously for the whales. Mm-hmm. This is obviously for guys who have this disposable income and they want to spend a whole ton on Magic cards. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Good on you. Now, the value... I mean, there is value
There's
here, really.
Plenty.
In essence, what you're doing is you're buying a collector booster box.
Not quite.
Because they're saying that there is no MSRP, but if you were to buy a box of collector boosters, it would probably run you about $400, maybe $425.
Yeah.
So, because it comes with 16 at $25 apiece, so it comes to $400.
Was it 16? I thought the collector boxes were going to be $24.
Oh, if it's more than that, then that's... That's actually not really good.
I don't know.
Yeah, but
either way, I mean, getting 16 collector boosters that generally everybody's figuring they're going to cost between $20 and $30 a piece.
Everybody's saying $25.
Yeah, well, between $20 and $30 a piece.
Yep.
You know, your mileage may vary based on your local game store. Some places are going to charge more, right. Some places are going to charge less. But 16 of them.
And they are only 16.
Well, 16 of them at that price point, I mean, that right there puts you at about $320, $330.
Oh. Let me rephrase. They are 12 booster boxes. So, and they're going for about $330, $340.
Oh, it's 12 packs in a box?
Yep.
All right, so no, this is...
So, this is more than
this
that.
This is a good value.
And you're figuring 20... Let's figure $25. That gets you to $400. All right, that's good math.
That's already fantastic value. Because, you know, again, you don't know what you're getting inside of those boosters.
Well, that's the problem I've got with this thing is that the Mythic Collector Editions were a little bit more, were a little less risky, in my opinion, because you were getting, you know, you were sure to get one of each of those big bad planeswalkers, all right, which in essence paid for the set, okay?
Yeah.
A Liliana alone tended to pay for the set. And let's face it, okay, you're putting a foil Garruk in there. Okay, that might go for maybe $150 because so many people can get it. You know, they're assured to get that. But you're not going to sell the art print for anything. You're not, you know, the the foil sheet might pull you a good 50 or 60 bucks.
Yeah, well, it depends on what's on the foil sheet, too.
Yeah, it depends on what's on the sheet. Exactly. So that's the problem. The one problem I've got with this, why it was almost combat, is that the problem I have with it is that we don't have the assurances we have with the Mythic Edition. The Mythic Edition was like, I know that in addition to boosters where I could open a Bombad Mythic Rare or even a foil Mythic Rare and woohoo, you know, I knew I was going to at least get these Planeswalkers that would make it valuable enough. The fact that I'm only opening 16 Throne of Eldraine Collector boosters, and I'm sorry to say this, and I'm going to say this right now, I'm still not sold on those because I still have a very sneaking suspicion that because it's randomized and because they've added in the Brawl cards and the Buy a Box promo, that because they and because it has commons in there and things like that, and even though they're foiled commons, look, at the end of the day, I could end up with 2/3 of a Brawl pack. Sure, it'll be foiled, but what's the value? You know, you don't know what the value is.
There's only one card in each of those boosters that's from a non-main set product.
Okay, well, that's still good, but I mean, if it ends up being your rare or mythic rare, though.
Yeah, no, that sucks. But there's multiple rares in that. And what happens is that it's two of the cards, I believe, are rares from Throne of Eldraine. The other card is the potential to be something that's not in the main set. So you might get the Planeswalker deck rare, but you're still going to get two other rares and or mythics from Throne of Eldraine on top of it. So you're getting
it's still a crapshoot, but
so is every other booster pack.
True, but what, like I said, with the Mythic Edition, which was only at a price point of $250, which was still too high for me.
Yeah, but also too, availability and how many they made, how quickly they sold out, and then what you actually had to pay on the secondary market to get a hold of them.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying they should go back. I think this whole thing is a bad idea.
Oh, overall,
I do, because here's the thing: you want to know how much more it costs them to print all these cards?
Zip.
But, you know, they don't believe in the aftermarket. It's like, okay, so stop making aftermarket. Like, I don't know. It's back in the day, and I get it. Okay, I'm going to be chasing kids off my lawn, giving them peanut brittle and ribbon candy. Fine, whatever. But back in the day, we didn't need to do this crap, and they still made a ton of freaking money. Mm-hmm. You know, all right, so I get it. I understand that there are whales out there, and they want to buy this stuff. And I get that you should have something for them. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, neither do I.
And I don't, I guess, maybe, you know what, maybe I don't disagree with this, but I also don't, maybe what I disagree with is the marketing and the promotion of it. Like, they're, you know, if you watch the video that they put out, they make it seem like this is a very, you know, approachable product. And this is something that almost everybody should be wanting to get their hands on.
Right.
It's like, you don't know your audience.
I mean, on the one hand, that does make sense because you do want to drum up interest for this. But at the same time, if you're a whale, you're going to be buying it anyway.
Right. And if you're not a whale, honestly, you're just annoyed that this is what you're wasting time on. And I still don't have a friends list on Arena, which is coming. We'll talk about that. Ooh, that's right. We should put the state of the game in there.
But I understand why Wizards is doing it. I'm not a huge fan of it. I'm not either. If I was a whale, I would be buying this.
Of course.
I mean, straight up. I mean, it's cool. It's a magic thing. You're going to get a hold of some things that not a lot of other people are going to have. I like to collect it. I would love to be able to get my hands on one of these, but yeah, I know that there's no way that I could justify that cost.
No, I'd get divorced. I would literally be divorced. I mean, like, I'd have to be, like, that's almost like, well, and literally, to be quite honest with you, that's like 2/3 of my mortgage.
And also, too,
like, if you want to put it into perspective.
If you tack on, like, an extra, what, $150, you could get a case of booster boxes.
Exactly. So you'll have every single Throne of Eldraine card that's out there.
Yeah. So I mean, or, you know, for that cost, you can get a box or two of Throne of Eldraine plus a box of collector's boosters.
Mm-hmm.
So, your mileage may vary.
I just, you know what? So, we should talk about it. It is out there. If you want it, you definitely should look for it. If you're listening to this podcast and you have a ton of extra income, first of all,
send some my way.
When we become a Patreon, when we open Patreon, please join us. But beside that, obviously, this might be something for you. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to see the cards, send us pictures, etc.
I mean, I will say this. The binder and the box looks amazing. It looks gorgeous.
They really do. I mean, look, Wizards does premiere well. Okay, yeah. They understand that they exist in a collector's world with luxury and the whole nine yards. Okay, I get it. But it's still, sometimes I think they forget, you know, who brought them to the party. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
But you know what? Let's go ahead and get right into
combat phase.
All right, combat today. So, Arena decided to put, they are moving out of beta with the Throne of Eldraine release, which is happening, I think, tomorrow? Or is it next week?
Throne of Eldraine?
Yeah, when does Arena go to game? Like, go out of beta?
Geez, when does it even say that? 26th. Well, I don't know if they told September 26th. Yeah, okay. So Friday?
Okay. Yes.
Thursday or Thursday.
Mm-hmm. So.
Thursday, yeah.
And they have stopped doing State of the Betas, and they are now doing State of the Game, which is great, and again, and they put out, you know, some information this past week. Okay, so they're talking, the main things, there were a few set things. They talked about the new mastery set, mastery mechanic, which is, you know, they're going to have, you know, instead of a cat, you can get a fox instead of
he's
all
adorable.
This. And he is. He's cool. They're talking about rotation, obviously, and the fact that, you know, as of this week, you know, Ixalan, Rivals, Dom, and M19 are dead. Gone. See you later. They're historic now.
Still a stupid name of the format.
I don't disagree. You know, the renewal gifts and rewards are going to show up sometime this week. And they did talk about, we'll go into a little bit about things that are in development that are coming very soon. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing I think in this whole thing was they talked about what they're going to do to welcome us all into the new standard. And what they want to do, it's the same thing they did, kind of what they did last year, only they're not letting us keep it. They have come up with an event, a free event. It's basically play any standard deck with all of the cards.
Yeah, this is different than the last one because what they did with was it Guild of Ravnica?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had given us one of every rare and I think two of every uncommon or something like that.
Right.
This one, what they're doing is they're giving you four of every single card that's available in standard. Whether or not yep. you already have it or not. So, like, they're basically...
they're giving you access. They are not giving you
yeah,
cards.
They're giving you access to that's, every single
really
card.
It's really important that you say it like that, because you're not keeping
no,
these
at
cards.
The end of the event, it goes away. There's two events right. that they're doing. They're doing the one this weekend, where they give you everything for a while, up until the...
It's a 36 hours.
Yeah, until October 1st. And you can play up to 12 games. Doesn't matter what your record is. They're just basically giving you a chance to practice, really, for the big event, which is coming the following week, where they do the same thing. They're going to unlock your collection with every card for another 36 hours from the 5th of October to the 7th of October. And you can build as many decks as you want. And there is a event that goes on. You can only enter it once. It's best of one standard, which I kind of was like, oh, I was kind of hoping for best of three, but best of one is fine.
Yeah,
and you either can get to 12 wins or 2 losses, whatever comes first. And they give you some, you know, some pretty cool treats if you get up there and wins.
Yes, so that's. But here's the thing: the kickers are this. At first, it sounds great. You read it and you're like, "This is amazing! Wow, thank you, Wizards." And then you read it again, and you start to realize what's happening here. So the Play Any Deck standard is just a Play Any Deck standard event. Again, though, you only you have up to 12 games, win or lose, with all of those cards. Mm-hmm. So we're going to provide access to those play sets. And it's from September 26th until Monday. Okay. So it's more than 36 hours. It's more like the weekend.
It's like a weekend, okay. Yeah.
It is standard best of one, up to 12 games, win or lose. No problem.
After that, your collection okay. resets to whatever it was before.
So... And then after that, okay, so this is kind of to give you a chance to play. And it's up to 12 games, win or lose. If you lose, it's not going to kick you out. But if you win, you can only win up to 12. Or no, you play just 12 games.
You play 12
games,
period, yeah, for this first one.
Right. Now, The big problem I have with, and the big problem I have with the Playing Deck Standard, by the way, is the one and done. I think if you're going to give us a chance to practice, give us a chance to freaking practice. You know what? Open it up for those 5 days and let us do it as many times as we want. Why the hell not? You're taking the cards away. It's not like I'm getting to keep them. So why is there any skin off your back? You know, if it can only help Wizards by letting us play these cards and go, man, I'm definitely going to buy a playset of these with my wild cards. Okay, that's my first thought. But then the real problem I have is the win every card challenge. That's the real problem I've got with this.
Okay.
Because, okay, they're going to provide access to the cards. It is standard best of ones. You get 12 wins or 2 losses, whichever comes first. Uh-huh. If you get 12 wins, you win 1 copy of every card in standard and 1 sealed event token golden egg card sleeve. How awesome is that? It all sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
The odds of you going 12-1. You can't go 12-2. The odds of you going 12-1 in a standard best of one is something astronomical. Like, I saw a site on it yesterday on Reddit. I think it was something like 54,000-1.
Well, I mean, that probably makes a lot of assumptions when you do that kind of math.
I know.
Because, you know, certain decks have a better winning percentage than other decks. It's not a straight 50-50 right. coin
flip. Well, they're saying like a 50%, if you're a 50% win rate player, all right, if you're, which I'm not. I'm more like a 45, 43 maybe even. You're probably closer to 50 than I am.
Hmm. It depends on the day.
Yeah. And that's just it. The problem I have with this is that you can only do it once. Like, it just... It seems kind of crappy. It does.
I don't think so. This is legit disagree on that.
Okay, good. We have a combat. This is good.
Legit disagree.
All right. Well, here, I'll go with mine first then, because here's my thinking on this. Okay, if it's 54,000-1 or whatever, okay, we'll even say, let's be 300-1, okay? That's still, you know, pretty big. And yeah, you're not paying anything to do it, but you're taking time. It's a lot of time. It's people investing a lot of time. Now, if they let us rebuy in, I don't know how I'd feel about that either, to tell you the truth. I mean, there's a part of me that's like, on one hand, I applaud Wizards for not having the rebuy. On the other hand, I'm like, for somebody like me, and if I had the money, I'd be like, you know what? I wouldn't mind re-rolling and trying again. You know? And these cards are not tradable. It's not like I can, you know, trade them off to somebody else. These are just to have in my collection.
Hmm.
It looks to me like it's kind of like, why not just give us one of every card, period? Especially if you were a beta tester. You know, especially if you beta tested through, especially somebody like me who alpha tested. You know, like I've been playing Arena now for almost 2 years. You know, it sucks that they're making this so incredibly hard to get through for a dirty, rotten casual like myself. You know, because you're going to end up playing against Mythic, people who are Mythic ranked, and because, again, it's not like you're playing ranked. It's not like I'm playing guys who are gold ranked like me. I could end up sitting there playing Reed Duke, and he's one of my 12 losses. You know, I think it's so swingy and it's so, yeah. And then the problems we have with the shuffler and the problems we have with the land draw. And it doesn't say it in here, but are they, all right, so it's standard best of one. So is it going to have the standard best of one, you know, I'm going to choose 2 hands and give you the best one?
And
okay.
Yeah, it would.
So that's even worse. So in a way, Wizards could be like, well, he's at 11. How do we know they're not putting in the code that says, hey, he's at 11. give him the one land hand.
Yeah, we're going full tinfoil hat here. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm legit. But that's because it's too easy to do. It really is. In this circumstance, in this case, it's too easy to do it because you know, by making it so hard, by making it 12 wins instead of, say, 6, okay, I think the 12 is what kills me, the 12 and only one loss, and not being able to do it again. I get not being able to let me stay where I'm at and I have to start back over. Let me start back over. But, you know, I don't know. Oh my gosh, my wife's on the screen telling me that if I spent money on D&D, she'd have no problem with that, just so you know.
You make some fair points, but I disagree.
All right, so tell me your points.
Basically, it boils down to, like, it's kind of hard to really explain it, but it's a free event both times.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, it's they're under no obligation to do this at all.
True.
You know, they could have said, hey, you know, we'll give you one free entry into whatever, and that's what we're doing for launch. Obviously, what they're trying to do is sort of kick things off with a bang.
Right.
And they're making it so, you know, yeah, you can win one copy of every card in Standard. They don't want it to be easy. You know, so it's not the hardest thing in the world to spike off and win one of the constructed events and go 5-0 or 6-0 in one of those. One of those constructed challenges. Giving us a free roll to practice with a full collection of Standard for a weekend will give the metagame a chance to develop. So by the
True,
time...
and I'm in there with that. I'm in for that.
So you're not going into this thing blind. So you have a weekend to practice and then another weekend to actually go for it. By the time this happens, there's going to be established decks and established strategies for best of one. Okay. So you're going to have basically the best chance you could possibly have to get these 12 wins and to win one copy of every card in Standard. That's a lot of stuff that they're giving away for literally nothing. Now, yes, they're not tradable, and that does suck. That's one part of Arena that always seems kind of weird to me. But they're giving everybody something.
Okay.
Everybody's getting something. Even if you go 0-2 drop, at least you're still getting one rare card from Throne of Eldraine plus the sleeve.
Right.
For nothing. Literally nothing. Right. Everything else they've done with this game as far as adding stuff has been a prohibitive cost between either gems or gold or whatever it is. This one, the biggest cost they're saying is, well, you need to get on a hot streak. Anybody has that in them. Now, obviously, some of it's matchup dependent, some of it's opponent dependent, some of it may be algorithm dependent. You just, you know, do you get mana screwed this game or not? I'm not going to go full tinfoil hat and say you get to 11 wins, and that's when they press the screw you button and say, nope, you're not getting lands these next two games. Now, have I seen that happen? Of course. It could happen in regular Magic, too. It's happened to me in regular Magic, where you're right on the cusp of doing something great, you just need that one more win, and your deck goes, you know what? You're not drawing any green lands today. I don't care that that's, you know, 2/3 of the lands in your deck. You're not going to do it. Everybody's been there. I mean, that's the...
Yeah, that's magic.
That's magic.
I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm in.
That's magic. And sometimes the timing is very unfortunate and, you know, maybe a little suspicious. But I think overall, they want people to join this game before the 26th launches, you know? So they're going to say, hey, you know, because remember, they're also giving you a free avatar if you were in beta.
Yeah.
As long as you create an account before the 26th, you get a Fibblethip avatar, which, you know, I would probably never use, but you never know. But still,
You're going to use it. You love Fibblethip.
It's a free thing, you know? And I think this is a good thing. Like, we're always looking for things to pick as far as nits are concerned with Wizards and what they do. I think this is a good event. It's a good chance to practice the new format. This is their first rotation, technically second rotation, but it's their first full rotation of a standard. They want to get everybody excited for the new standard, and they want to give everybody a chance to play with these cards, because otherwise you have to wait to build your collection or fire off a bunch of wild cards, blah, 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 blah. If you managed, like, if there was only one prize of winning every card, then I would be a little more upset about it. But the fact that it's anybody who gets to 12 wins, 12-1, I mean, that's still hard to do. I grant you that. That's going to be incredibly hard to do. I see myself going probably 5-2 or 6-2 at best.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'm probably going to do something similar, 5-2. I could go on a good run. It depends on what, you know, what I play. And I mean,
and you can switch the decks as often as you want until you get to two losses. So if you happen to have a rough game, and you're like, oh, you know what, I don't want to roll with this again. You can swap out to something else. Maybe you rattle off 7 wins in a row. And then all of a sudden you're looking at 4 rares. I mean, I don't want to.
She's mad I'm eating her Jolly Ranchers. That's why I did that.
I don't want to bash it, because I feel like it's an extra thing that they're giving us just because they're saying, hey, thank you for playing. New set's coming out. Let's get you excited for the new standard. Here's everything for 2 weekends.
But I want to win. That's the problem. Let me win.
The unfortunate answer to that then is for both of us would be, then get good. In 2 weeks, you know, in 1 weekend, get good. I like the idea of the event. I think it's a fun way to get people introduced to the new format. They're giving away a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to walk away with at least a rare and a sleeve. It's not nothing. I mean, you probably would have to pay what?
It's kind of nothing. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. That's kind of nothing.
But you're not paying for it.
Yeah, but it's still kind of like...
They could have done nothing.
I know, I get you.
They could have done nothing, and they've done that in the past.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into main two here.
Main phase.
I totally won that one. Debatable. So this is our you know, major moment here. It is rotation. Yeah. Okay. So you know, there are cards that are going to be leaving standard.
Yes.
Some of them we'll see play, obviously, in, you know, Eternal formats. I don't think Teferi, Hero Dominaria, will ever die.
No, that's not going anywhere.
You know, Chain Whirler's got some upside in various formats. It's things like that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, what I wanted to do here was just kind of talk about a little bit of the, you know, what's rotating out, what we're going to miss, what we're not going to miss. You know, what we hope to never, ever, ever see again, Big Teferi, but in standard or otherwise. So, I mean, what is your biggest, do you think? What are you going to miss?
Well, until they reprint them again, the Czech lands.
Yeah.
Having access to near perfect mana is, you know, any deck builder's wet dream, basically.
Yeah.
You know?
And we have been spoiled with the mana base.
Oh my God, we've been spoiled so bad with these mana bases, because... You know, being able to run a 3-color deck with only 2 basic lands and never having to worry about being off curve with your colors. I mean, it's crazy. And now it's heaven forbid. Oh, the lands come into play tapped. Oh, God, no. Whatever shall we do? Okay, so maybe you can't play your 5-color green nonsense anymore. But still, I mean, the mana is still not bad by any stretch of the imagination. The enemy colored lands have it better than the allied colored lands, which is a little weird they did it backwards. But anyway. Yeah, the Czech lands are going to be a big hit. I'm really going to miss those. I'm not going to miss Nexus of Fate. As much as I love the card, I'm not going to miss it, because the games took forever. And this is coming from someone who played Nexus of Fate.
In paper.
So a lot of manual shuffling. I'm pretty sure I got some repetitive use injuries in my arms from that. God, what else is... I'm going to miss Rekindling Phoenix. It's my favorite card.
It really is your favorite card. Yeah. Rekindling Phoenix is going to be one of mine. You know, I'm going to miss a lot of... I'm going to miss Lightning Strike. I'm sorry, a 2-drop, 3 damage.
I'm sure that'll be coming back fairly soon.
Yeah, I have a feeling Theron will.
Probably in Theros. It could be in Ikoria.
Theron.
Could be back. They could put it back in the core set next year. I mean, it'll be back.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, you know what? I'm okay with you taking it if you give me Lightning Bolt back. That would be wonderful. Oh, my God. Lightning Bolt and Standard.
Lightning Bolt and Standard would be nuts. I think they do fetch lands before Lightning Bolt. No, actually, no, they don't. Well, actually, maybe they do. Maybe they do.
I think we're going to see fetch lands. Definitely, you know, I'm going to miss, there's a lot I'm going to miss in there. I am going to miss, you know, Rekindling Phoenix. I mean, the card was busted in almost everything. It was a great replacement for Glorybringer. I'm going to miss Chain Whirler. You know, he's a 3-drop, does 1 damage to everything. Banalish Marshall. I mean, I'm going to miss a lot of mono white.
Yeah, that loses a lot of
history of Benalia. The Odonto Vanguard.
I am not going to miss Odonto Vanguard.
I'm going to miss my vampires. I love my vampire deck. Oh, thank you, Siri. Siri apparently thought I was asking her a question. we'll take that again. A History of Vanalia, Mono White stuff. You know, yeah, I know you're not going to miss a Danto Vanguard, but I mean, I'm going to miss my vampires. Like, I'm sorry, Legion Lieutenant, Sanctum Seeker, and that stupid vampire deck. Sanctum Seeker was ridiculously overpowered.
Yeah, it's funny that it took until a month before rotation for it to finally get its day in the sun.
And boy, did it.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm going to miss Chart of Course.
I'm going to miss Chart of Course.
You know, that's a really good card. Good two-mana card draw. I mean, there's, you know, replacements, I'm sure, that are on the horizon with that. If it's not already in Throne of Eldraine.
The Immortal Sun.
Yeah. That never saw much play as it probably should have.
No. You know, it's weird to think about. Like, Esper Control. Esper will, they'll fix themselves. But they lost a lot.
They did.
I mean, losing Big T is bad. Oh, just missing Carnage Tyrant. I will be missing Carnage Tyrant and Dinosaurs as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But especially Carnage Tyrant.
Well, and also, too, the fact that they had all these great multicolored legendaries, and they never supported Brawl.
Yeah.
You know, Muldrotha, Zakama, Joyra, Daragaz.
Gishoth.
I mean,
Galta. I'm gonna miss Galta.
Yeah, you know, they had Ariel. They had a knight, Orzhov knight that would have been great in Brawl now, but rotating out.
Yeah,
Firesong and Sunspeaker. You know, you could do some ridiculous stuff with that card. Helm of the Host is rotating out.
It's just, you know, it's Helm of the Host is another one, but it's definitely, you know. Rotation is an interesting time. This is like my third one since I've been back. And it's an interesting... You know, I can understand now why people want to play the Eternal formats a little more.
Mm.
I really can. I get it. And I don't disagree. There's something to, you know... I spent, you know, $50 at one point getting the last two Teferis. You know...
Luckily, they'll still hold most of their value, but like
they will. And I'm not saying that, but I mean a lot of the things that are there don't hold up.
No,
a lot of
Rekindling Phoenix was a $25 card. It's down to $3.
Yeah, I mean it's like Scarab God when it rotated last year.
Yeah.
I mean it's just.
But nobody missed Scarab God when it rotated out. Nobody missed that card. That card was
him. I loved him.
That card was ridiculous.
I just it's an interesting thought process with Standard, and that's why I think the reason we were able to come up with a Standard podcast is rotation, because I don't think a lot of people like to talk about Standard too much, because you know it's rotating at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Next year we lose Guilds and Ravnica and
War of the Spark,
which is going to hurt.
Yeah.
Core 20. I mean, those are the four that'll rotate out next year. And, I mean, they'll take with them Little Teferi. But you bastards with Core 2021.
Oh. Yeah, so there's going to be Teferi all day on that one. So he's not really going away for that long. Yeah, I mean, this rotation, you know, there's a lot that's going away. I mean, Mono Blue, you know, Curious Obsession, Tempest Gem,
Merfolk Trickster. Merfolk Trickster, I mean, Simic Flash, they'll recover. I mean,
Simic Flash is positioned very well for the new meta.
Yeah, we should definitely talk about that, too. It's like, you know, so these cards that are rotating out, what we're going to miss, what we're not going to miss. You know, I know you're not going to miss a Danto Vanguard. I'm not going to miss Big T. You know, Big Teferi can, yeah. I only wish Thought Erasure was going with it.
But the funny thing is, too, that as bad as Big Teferi was, Little Teferi has completely overshadowed him.
Oh, he has, because he shuts down, you know, a lot.
There's a lot of conversations calling, like, if you look at, like, top five Planeswalkers, there's a very hard debate going on for, like, the number three spot, whether it's Little Teferi, Narset, or Liliana the Veil.
Wow, no shit. Oh, so for all time.
For all time. Little Teferi and Narset are in that conversation.
Oh, Narset's ridiculous.
Narset is silly. Yeah. You got a whole other year with that.
You know, I'm not going to miss things like the cards that I played with, like when you had Golgari running around and then Sultai. I mean,
bye-bye Braska, Jade Light Ranger.
You know, Jade Light Ranger. I mean, the Merfolk. Tribal as a whole. Okay, Ixalan and Rivals really went to the tribal mindset. And I don't know that I'm going to miss that as much as, you know, as others, because... Well, I enjoyed playing my Merfolk deck and my Dino deck and my Vamp deck. They were never really, you know, I don't think they were what they were hoping for.
Not until the end with the Vampires, at least.
Yeah.
Well, Dinosaurs made a little surge at the end, too.
Yeah, because of that Marauder there.
Right, and Rotting Regisaur.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm not going to miss certain cards. I'm definitely not going to miss, what the hell's the name of that card?
Don't remember it. That obviously means you're not going to miss it.
Yeah, so exactly. But no, there was just, like I said, the Immortal Sun is one that I think should have been bigger than it was, especially in War of the Spark. I mean, everybody was going to buy that card.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the 6 mana cost made it hard.
Yeah.
Like you, the lands are going to be probably the biggest thing for me. Like, losing check lands is, that's hard, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
So,
and they'll be back at some point.
Yeah. I mean, the Fanatical Firebrand, there's going to always be another one out there, rest in peace, Ixalan, Rivals, Dom, and Core. We hardly knew you, but knew you well.
Yep. Goodbye, Polyraptor.
Goodbye, I was playing the Zakama deck today. I got Polyraptor out. He just scooped. Because I also had the Forerunner of the...
Yep. Infiniraptor.
I was like, this is... Oh, and I had the Trapjaw Tyrant's going to be one I miss because I love the removal on him. But, yeah, that was another one. So I had Trapjaw out, too. So Forerunners hit both of them. I'm like, so I'm going to take that, and I'm going to make another one of these, which is going to do that again. I'm going to take that, and then do another one of these. Now I have to stop.
Yep.
So, and I think deck... And maybe next week we'll talk a little bit about decks that, pre-Throne of Eldraine, how to use them, like Simic Flash, and... is Elementals finally going to come into its own, or is it, does it still need a little help? I think it needs a little help. Esper Control is making a comeback?
Yeah, there's an Esper shell floating around that's it's got some power. It's missing some of the consistency again because of the mana base, but the raw power is still there. I mean, because if you think about it, most of it survived rotation.
Yeah. Gates is... I was playing Gates through that whole Core 2020 set, mm-hmm. and that was Standard 2020, and that's fun to play.
Gates is going to be very powerful coming out of well, no pun intended, coming out of the gate.
Yeah.
Especially if you build it around Field of the Dead.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So there's some archetypes that are surviving the rotation that are very well positioned. Simic Flash is in extremely good position right now. Team Reclamation is in very good position right now.
Finally.
Yeah.
I don't understand why Reclamation isn't in Simic Flash. I've thought about putting it in there to see how it does. I know it's slower.
A Little Teferi.
Yeah.
People were so scared of Little Teferi. And he's still here, but it's for whatever reason, they're taking their shot.
But, with that, I think we're a little bit over, so let's start getting ourselves into...
End step.
And oh, by the way, we have a mea culpa before we get into end step. Jamie's email last week regarding the Helm of the Host on Gear Red, and we were kind of like, yeah, it can go infinite and blah, 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 blah. We realized that wasn't exactly true, that the Helm of the Host isn't going to let it go infinite because the tokens that come in are not triggering that per se, the battle trigger. So because the trigger that comes in that's created at the attack step doesn't have an ETB trigger.
Yeah, so the Helm of the Host creates a copy of the legend.
Right.
When you attack with the legend, either one of them really, they'll make an additional copy of the the token gets haste, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So you can
and it's attacking.
Yeah, so you can attack with both of them. They'll create you can populate at that point, so you can create two more copies of the legend, which come in attacking.
Yes, the legend tokens are attacking.
Yeah, the copies that come in off the attack trigger are attacking. The tokens that come in off the tokens that are created from the attacking copy, are you confused yet? Those don't attack because those are just regular tokens coming into play. So you exponentially grow every turn. It gets really absurd, really disgusting, really fast. It's not infinite, but it might as well should be because you probably win the game at that point.
Yep. So, but with that, you know, so thank you. And for the whole talk, please check our Facebook page. But Aramis and I are going to start putting our cards away, getting them put in boxes. Want to remind you guys, we'll be at Kerwin's this weekend in Catskill doing the pre-release. I think we're doing the Friday night, 5 o'clock-ish or whatever the hell
6:30, I think we're going to start. 6:30. We'll be there before that.
Yeah. So feel free to cop on down if you're from here. But both Aramis and I stream Arena on the Planeswalkers podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planeswalkers Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
You can also follow me on Twitch at RMECWRX. I should be streaming this Wednesday evening. If something changes, obviously, I'll try to let you guys know.
We will let you know.
And the way that I'll let you know is that if Twitter is more your speed, you can find our show at PlaneswalkerPod on Twitter. That's where we'll post either updates to the show, whether or not we're streaming, or if we happen to be at an event like maybe this Friday there's something going on. Mark?
Absolutely.
We'll probably be sending out some tweets about that. You know, see our sick polls that we get.
Yeah.
So yeah, go to Planeswalker at PlaneswalkerPod on Twitter.
Yep, and you can look up my personal Twitter. It's at WR Benson. I'm not on it very much, but I am on there occasionally. Of course, you can always follow us and should follow us on Facebook if you like to watch the live show. It's fun to watch. Just look up Planeswalkers Podcast, like and follow our page, and we tend to record Monday nights around 7:30.
Yep. And finally, you can send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. You know, you can also, if you have a question for Will, you can send him an email as well. If you have a comment or question about the show or something else in general, you can fire us an email, and the address is podcast@planeswalkerspodcast.com.
And finally, iTunes reviews, Google Store reviews. Guys, we really love to have them. It brings eyes to the show. If whatever platform you're on, please go ahead and leave us a review. And if you send it to us in an email, we'll read it on the show. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson. We're going to sign off for another week. And reminding you to always leave some of your lands untapped, because you'll never know when you need them. Take care. Bye-bye.